We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Very interesting doings around the AFC North, I'll say that. So good for us that we have Jonas Schaefer from the Baltimore Sun.
We're hitting a daily double here. We had Tony Grossi with all the Browns fiasco last week. Now we can get to what's happening with the Ravens.
Perhaps we'll get to the Bengals tomorrow, Ron. You like that idea?
I like that idea.
We'll hit the whole division.
They seem to be a little more of a less drama than the other
teams. When did the Bengals become the model of stability in the AFC North? When did that happen?
That's a very good question.
All right, let's go to Jonas. He's on the Nemecolon fan hotline. Appreciate you joining us, Jonas. And the headline on your story from 2 days ago is, as OTAs get underway, Lamar Jackson and his contract status again among Ravens' most interesting storylines. I'll raise my hand here and say I'm a little bit perplexed on the whole Jackson contract situation there. He seems to want to do his own deal. Everybody's trying to figure out, is he angling for free agency someday? Is he angling for a Deshaun Watson deal? What's happening here? And is him being out of OTAs some sort of message to somebody?
I think it's a message. I just don't know what it is. There's so little information about this. The Ravens obviously do a good job of kind of locking down their fortress information-wise. Lamar doesn't have an agent, and the person that he's closest with, his mom, obviously doesn't do media. So a lot of this just ends up as speculation. But what we know is that, you know, Lamar has said that he wants to remain in Baltimore. He wants to sign a long-term extension. Ravens officials have said that they want to sign into a long-term extension. But for whatever reason, even though the Ravens officials have reached out to Lamar to try to engage him, for whatever reason, a lot of the time he just doesn't pick up the phone. And so it kind of came to a head this week with, you know, despite Lamar having said that at the end of last season, actually after that second Steelers loss, you know, the one thing I really want to get back to is just hanging out with my team, building some chemistry, getting what we were denied during the COVID, you know, situations. He doesn't show up, and we don't know when he'll show up. It's possible he shows up next week with a bunch of other veteran guys who are, you know, kind of coming back for that second week of OTAs. But it's a bit of a unique, messy situation because yesterday, you know, John Harbaugh, for really the first time for a Ravens official, was a little bit terse about this whole Lamar situation. You kind of tell that he didn't want to have to answer questions about where his star QB was or where this whole thing is headed. Obviously, he doesn't want the focus to be on that. He wants to be on focus on the field and who is actually there. And these are voluntary OTAs, but it's a little bit weird for Lamar to have this be the first OTAs that he misses, despite, again, him seemingly have a vested interest in showing up and maybe getting some deals done. You know, maybe going back to the negotiating table with Eric DaCosta here in Baltimore.
All right, so let's just get a couple of facts out of the way. He's playing under his fifth-year option, which is around, what, 20-some million?
23.
Have numbers been exchanged between him and the team at all? Is there a chance that he's already been insulted by an offer, something like that? Or do we have a feel for what the Ravens have in mind and what he has in mind?
Yeah, I think there's definitely been numbers exchanged. You know, Eric DaCosta has talked about how this was, I believe, at the NFL Combine a couple months ago, that they had already met something like six times. So I don't think you have that many meetings with a guy who's eligible for an extension without actually, you know, discussing some ballpark offers. I don't know what they were. I don't know if the first or second or third offer if we even got to a point where so low that Lamar felt insulted. I don't know if he wants to be the highest paid player in the NFL. I don't know if the Ravens want him to be the 15th highest paid quarterback in the NFL. But there's just so much stuff here that we don't really know. But I think it's fair to say that they have begun to discuss contract terms. But again, Lamar doesn't have an agent. But I think any player in the situation should understand that this is a negotiating process. And just because the Ravens offer a certain number in February doesn't mean that they won't offer considerably more a couple of months later. So,
and lastly, Jonas.
Lastly,
fact check before I throw it to Ron. If they want, they have two tags they can put on him each of the next 2 years. So essentially they control him. He doesn't control them. They control him for this year and the next two, correct?
That's right. And, I think the Ravens, on one hand, might prefer it financially because, it's all about getting to that third contract. Obviously, you want, the closer you can get back to market and have that reset market do everything it can to bump your price up, I think the better for your bank account. But the Ravens want some stability and having a situation be where it's one-year contract after one-year contract and then a mega deal is a little bit handcuffing for this Ravens front office because, again, you're trying to do all these spreadsheets and figure out how much money you have in a certain year, and the Ravens just don't have that knowledge right now going forward.
Well, you talk about a mega deal down the road. Even if they do one tomorrow, it's going to be a mega deal, correct? I mean, he's got to be just thrilled to death what Deshaun Watson got out of Cleveland, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, and I don't think the Ravens ownership is that thrilled. I mean, I'm sure you guys probably discussed it, but
all guaranteed right? All guaranteed.
Yeah, when we went down to the NFL owners meetings a couple months ago, Steve Bisciotti was, so far I guess been really the only NFL owner to raise some hackles about how upset, how disappointed he was that Cleveland gave Deshaun Watson all that guaranteed money. And I think, I don't know if it's a liquidity issue with the Ravens, having enough money to pay Lamar, because obviously I think all the guaranteed money that's in a contract has to be put in escrow as soon as the deal's done. The Ravens are pretty well off financially, but obviously giving as much money as the Cleveland did to Deshaun Watson poses a certain issue for guys who want to be copycats in this league. And again, I don't know if Lamar sees that and says, I want that as well, but it definitely raises another interesting variable in this whole situation.
Man, I'll say, we have Jonas Schaefer of the Baltimore Sun on the Nemecolon Fan Hotline. So if you would, take off your reporter cap and put on your opinion maker cap. I don't know if I can give Lamar Jackson $250 million guaranteed. I just don't know that I'd be willing to do that. How about you?
It really depends on what the framework of the deal is, guys. I mean, I haven't thought too much about what it would look like if Lamar got a Deshaun Watson type deal. Obviously, there are the concerns about injuries, which I think have only intensified since last season ended. But the most precious commodity in sports, I mean, as you guys know, is a franchise quarterback. How many teams have had a guy who's won an MVP as early in his career as Lamar? He's younger than Joe Burrow. I think that's something that people forget. And he's always going to be younger than Joe Burrow for as long as he plays in the NFL. So, I don't think the Ravens want to head back into the wilderness that Cincinnati was stuck in for so long, where you're just grasping at straws, trying to find a franchise quarterback and just striking out in the draft time and time again. But again, you don't want to throw, good money after bad if you aren't totally committed to building an offense or building a franchise around Lamar Jackson, not just on the field, but off the field as well. So I think the Ravens, from everything they've said publicly, would be totally fine with making Lamar Jackson one of the highest paid players in the NFL, certainly the highest paid player in franchise history. But I just don't know what he wants, and I don't know under what terms he wants them.
Well, I saw Harbaugh spoke what you said yesterday and, said – kind of nice to have his guys back, right? No team was hit by injuries, I don't think, quite like the Ravens were last year. That's got to be, I would think, an incredible sense of optimism down there. And is everybody key that they're going to count on healthy as of now?
They're working their way back. You know, I think Marcus Peters is obviously the biggest name among those guys. It sounds like his rehab from a torn ACL is going well. You know, I think the Ravens are optimistic that he'll be ready for week one. The running back, J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards, I think it's a little bit more touch and go. You know, John Harbaugh said a couple months ago that both those guys could enter training camp on the physically unable to perform list. So that's why they took a running back in the draft. You know, that's why they signed Mike Davis for free agency. Not exactly huge signings, but I think this Ravens offense can do, you know, a reasonably good job with Lamar in there, just kind of, you know, helping with the rushing offense. But, you know, Ronnie Stanley, obviously another guy who's going to be drawing a lot of attention coming back from, you know, two or three ankle surgeries, which have really limited him. Ravens are optimistic there as well, but, you know, they were optimistic enough last year to play him in week one against Vegas, and he just did not hold up really well and obviously was sidelined for the rest of the year. So they've got more insurance there, I think, than they did last year when they just really couldn't block anyone and couldn't keep Lamar healthy. But there's still a huge amount of question marks, I think, over some of the biggest names in Baltimore.
Wow. That's a little different than I expected. I thought you were going to say to Ron's question, yes, all hands on deck, ready to go. I mean, those are, and now I'm looking at some other stories. These are lingering. What about Bowser? He's a good player coming off the Achilles.
Yeah, he definitely is. I think he's making some good progress from that Achilles. I think the technology and the success of Achilles tendon surgeries is just remarkably better than it was, you know, 4 or 5 years ago. I mean, you know, kind of a, you know, fringe player, but Justice Hill, who's a third string running back for the Ravens, tore his Achilles in September, and he was cleared to practice yesterday, which is about 9 months. So if you kind of apply that same timetable to Tyus Bowser, maybe he's close to 100% by September, by October, which would obviously mean that he's not missing a whole lot of time. But, you know, you've also got David Ajabo, the second round pick from Michigan, another edge rusher that they're counting on to make an impact, if not this year, then at least at some point. Also dealing with an Achilles tendon tear. So, you know, this team is, don't have to tell you guys, that they had one of the worst injury seasons in NFL history. And obviously they're still dealing with the follow-up from that, but they're doing everything they can to get these guys healthy and then ready for the season up ahead.
One other Lamar question, Jonas. I mean, what's the court of a public opinion? What are you hearing down there from the fans and the guys on the street? Are they pay him whatever he wants, or what's that story like?
Yeah, I think there's a huge love affair with Lamar because of what he's brought to the franchise. I think people are willing to overlook some of his postseason shortcomings just because, you know, I think there's a lot of acrimony toward the offensive coordinator here in Baltimore, Greg Roman. Obviously, the situation with Hollywood Brown and him wanting out of town to go to a more pass-happy situation, I don't think did Greg Roman any favors, but yeah, I mean, I think Ravens fans, you know, for a franchise that's been so starved for a quarterback who can get to a Pro Bowl, you know, with all due respect to Joe Flacco, who's great in the postseason, but never really risen to the kind of levels that Lamar has set. So I think there's an eagerness to get a deal done. I think there's a willingness to say, you know, hey, Lamar, here's a blank check. Put whatever number you want there. But obviously, that's not how deals get done in the NFL. That's not how Eric DaCosta works. But it's a tough, you know, tough rope to navigate, guys. You know, you don't want to throw away your future for someone as beloved as Lamar. But if you don't believe that whatever he wants is the right fit for this franchise financially, then you're going to, you know, enter a really tough situation coming ahead.
Is Owe injured too?
He was kind of limited in practice yesterday. He dealt with a foot injury toward the end of last year, and then he underwent shoulder surgery in late January.
Man. This is unbelievable, Ron. Every guy I mention on this team is coming off surgery.
We saw what happened to him last year.
I mean,
we haven't even mentioned Marlon Humphrey.
What's his deal?
Well, he was back. He was a full go yesterday.
Okay,
but he was he tore the pec in that wild game against Pittsburgh in week 12, week 13, and missed the end of the season after that.
Well, that leads to an obvious question that I see has been already broached by Harbaugh: is the way that they practice and train. That he met with his strength and conditioning staff and vowed to make changes. Is that accurate? And you might already see them. It says here, anyway, in the story I'm reading, in OTAs. Have you?
Yeah, I think, you know, it was tough to tell really yesterday just how different things were. Obviously, it's a bit of apples and oranges because, again, there's no live contact. You're not really doing anything to put these guys in situations where they are more likely to tear a ligament or break something. But Ravens players talked about how they're stretching more. There was no change to the strength and conditioning staff, at least at the top. There was a change to the head athletic trainer. Steve Saunders, who's the strength and conditioning coach, is also the guy who was responsible in some ways for the COVID outbreak that happened in Baltimore a couple of years ago. So there was, some misgivings about keeping him around, especially after how last year unfolded. But he's very tight with John Harbaugh. He's got a great reputation for building guys up physically. And, I think the Ravens in some ways are just chalking up last year just to a lot of bad luck. I mean, ACLs are pretty finicky, and obviously you have to have the right amount of musculature around them to really protect them. But the Ravens have been among the healthiest teams in previous years. So, some years it feels like you get every break, and other years you're the Ravens in last year and just didn't really get a whole lot of good luck.
One last quick question, Jonas. Harbaugh has not been afraid to make changes on his staff, coaching staff, has he? Obviously with, I guess, Wink Martindale, the big guy, moving on, the defensive coordinator.
Yeah, Wink Martindale actually went up to, was doing media today with the Giants reporters there and said that departure from Baltimore was mutual. I think, there's probably a little bit more of a push from the Ravens than he'd like to admit publicly. But after how last year ended, going from a perennial top five, top 10 defense to one of the worst defenses in the NFL, obviously did not reflect well on him. A lot of injuries that he, could point to. But again, even when they were relatively healthy, they were not a great unit. So they brought in Mike McDonald, a guy who had a great year at Michigan last year, former Ravens assistant, a young guy who's maybe going to be a little bit more flexible, not rely on man-to-man coverage as much as Wink did. Get a little bit more creative, and he's going to have a lot of help. The secondary, when healthy, is going to be awfully talented, and I think the Ravens, for the most part, have built their defense from the back to the front, and they're going to have a lot of flexibility and a lot of talent to get what they want to get done this year.
45 seconds left. This was a good conversation, very enlightening. It sounds to me like the Ravens' biggest question marks are at wide receiver and edge rusher, and yeah. in a passing league, that doesn't sound healthy.
Well, they didn't have a great wide receivers in 2019. There was a lot of tight ends, and they still ended the year with the NFL's best offense, best scoring offense. And I think we might see a similar sack this year, especially with Mark Andrews becoming the full-on stud that he is. But edge rusher is a concern, man. Adafi Owe at this point is pretty much their only healthy starting level edge rusher. They might bring back Justin Houston on a short, cheap deal, which would be, I think, good help for them. But it's a lot of relying on the interior pass rush to improve and Tyus Bowser to get back healthy. And we just don't know what that will look like in 4 or 5 months.
Jonas, we appreciate all the time, man. We'll talk again.
Thanks,
guys. Have a good weekend.
Wow.
I didn't realize the injuries were still that much lingering. That
I don't like the vibe.
Could go into camp and even into the start of the season.
Ronnie Stanley, Marcus Peters, J.K. Dobbins. He just said that Owe is their only healthy starting level edge rusher.
Well, season's still 4 months away, but you want to
start.
Yeah,
but Bowser's coming off Achilles.
You want to see him get healthy. There's no doubt, and maybe they're not done bringing people in yet either. Although, where are you going to find an edge rusher now?
Well, he mentioned Justin Houston. Maybe I don't know. I don't like the vibe around Baltimore with the Lamar thing. The injury's still not solved. That's a team the Steelers could absolutely finish ahead of. Ron, I'll tell you what I think next, and I want to hear what you think about the AFC North. What we know now, as we sit here right now, Deshaun Watson, Lamar, Bengals, Steelers, how we would pick them, and we'll get Tim involved as well. That would be, nobody knows who I'm talking about when I say Tim.
Nobody knows.
Do you think that one could fly, Tim?
No, I don't think so. I really don't.
No? How about Slim?
It's got more of a chance.
Ron, initial reaction. Don't let your brain do any work. Your initial gut reaction to Slim.
Maddie, we got to go to a commercial here.
All right, Folsy.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.